Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, and I'm joined today by Herman Pretorius. Herman, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, and I'm not a South Korean Muppet.
Yes, and we'll see if we have time to get to that at the end of the show, but you'll see. And of course, we're also joined by the magnificent and magnanimous Miss Saragon, who wasn't with us last week, but she is now back and ready to pontificate on the issues of the world. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, and the only thing I can say is that Herman is not South Korean.
Indeed. Right, let us start
I'm
off
too tall.
Damn it, Herman. Just a whole lot of 5 minutes. You've already been cancelled like four times. Let's not get you cancelled again.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll just, you know, carry on.
You know, cancel him.
We should cancel you for that one.
If we have to make Oriental jokes, I could tie harder. Last one. I promise. Jokes were deliberate. They were, job pun intended.
Okay, that one was just bad, though.
Thank you.
Like, just objectively bad. Anyway.
Just trying to make you laugh.
Before you drive our audience away, let's get into the serious news, and then we'll get onto the silly news. So, the serious news. Our state of disaster has just been extended by the Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. She has extended the state of disaster by another month. It is now set to expire on the 15th of December. This means that we have, I think, during this week, and you'll probably see our colleague Gabriel Krauser talking about this, around 600 days that we've been under lockdown for, which is kind of crazy. Now, obviously, we're not in the same kind of lockdown we were in the first month, but there are still some serious restrictions, particularly on various aspects of business that go on at night, nightclubs, sports events, that kind of stuff. So I guess the point is, you know, we need to ask the question, like, is there any reason that we should still be in a state of disaster? Because the wonderful thing about the state of disaster is that you can take it away and put it back if the disaster ends or starts again. And just to review where we are with the numbers, yesterday South Africa had 262 cases of COVID, 8 deaths. Not 80, not 18, 8. 1% of the tests that were done were positive, which is very low. And there have been about 24 million doses of vaccine so far. So let me start with you, Herman. Why are we still in a state of disaster?
Well, we're in a state of disaster in terms of the legislation because of control. We're in a state of disaster broadly because of ANC government. But those are two different states of disaster. The one is a state of disaster and the other one is a disastrous state. But the state of disaster really is just an excuse to bypass the usual protections that should kick in when governments make laws, make rules here in South Africa. I think the greatest transgression of the way the Disaster Management Act has been applied in this, you know, day 600 of a 21 days to slow the spread is in the sense that it bypasses the already weak constitutional protections we already have. Now, what I mean by that is Parliament in South Africa is a shadow of what it should be. It is supposed to be something that actually doesn't necessarily rubber stamp government policy. It's supposed to be in a debating chamber. It's supposed to be a watchdog over the executive. It is actually supposed to act like the representatives of the people. Now, the problem is the Disaster Management Act, I think it's in terms of Section 27, allows for these broad swathes of essentially legislation to be passed without Parliament having to do anything. They won't call it legislation, they call it regulations, and they call it, the socialists are very good at, you know, naming things, or they try to be these days, nonsense like family meetings. But the real thing is, and the ANC sort of exposed itself a year ago, what a harrowing thought, but I'll keep on, keeping on, that it is about power. It is about ideological enforcement of power. And we saw that, I think, most clearly, not in the ridiculousness of open-toe sandals being banned, or, you know, cooked chicken being a great threat to public health, but in Ibrahim Patel's decision to essentially ban online trading, like Take a Lot and so on. And the reason for that was for purposes of fairness, so that, you know, if online traders, if you know, your high street usual traders and businesses can't do well, then online traders can't do well either, or can't, you know, that it should be fair. And that just exposed the ridiculousness of it all. There was absolutely no reason to ban online commerce other than the ideological motivation. And in that, you see the kernel of this horrendous popcorn that has been popping now for a year. It is just about power. It is about ideology. And it is about getting rid of even the thinnest milquetoast constitutional democratic protections we have through the, you know, vacuum of accountability that is Parliament. And it's now just essentially minister, the COGTA minister, NDZ, being able to make law, literally, with what her thoughts are, with a stroke of a pen, with no oversight, no accountability, and all hail NDZ pushing the NDR.
So, Sarah, you know, we seem to be going, just as it seemed like the world was kind of finally getting over COVID, and some countries are, I think, changing their policy quite dramatically. We've seen in the United Kingdom, for example, that they've declared freedom from the virus, and they're pretty much just going ahead with life as normal. But other countries around the world seem to have taken a much more hardline approach. So Austria has, which has currently got quite a lot of infections, has just decided that all of its unvaccinated people are going to be placed in a similar kind of lockdown to 2020. And so for the next couple of weeks, they say that people who aren't vaccinated will have to stay at home and not go out and all those kind of things, except to go to get food and that kind of stuff from the grocery store. I don't know how they're actually going to police that, because that includes 40% of the Austrian population. But it does make one worry that if we do have a fourth wave, there will be South Africans clamoring for harsher lockdowns again. What do you make of that, Sarah? Sorry, you are muted.
Apologies. I'm not quite sure if we will, in the sense that I'm not sure that in the nature of South Africans, we have the stomach for, or the interest in, really, really harsh lockdowns. And I also think because not less than a majority of the population has been vaccinated, that's a lot of people that you would have to put some sort of mandate on. It's not going to happen. It's, you know, for all the reasons why aspects of the law have always been a problem.
Something being a bad, unworkable idea has never stopped government before.
This is true. But what will end up happening is that a minimum number of people will obey. A whole lot of people will get, you know, will go up in arms because they'll demand the right not to be vaccinated and not to be prevented from going anywhere because they're not vaccinated. But as you say, you know, it's an easy power game for the government. You just keep rolling over from what all you have to do is declare that it shall be extended from month to month, and you could theoretically run this on for years. And unlike a state of emergency, which has to be renewed by be and approved by Parliament before it can be renewed, or this doesn't. And so it's essentially end up having the power of the Parliament, the broader Parliament, concentrated in the hands of the cabinet. I just practically, other than the fact that you know, the power is attractive and it meets all their sort of totalitarian urges, I I think people should, you know, we should pretty much declare that it's no different to a serious dose of flu, which we would deal with. We've got the vaccines. We know how to deal with the measures. And as you said earlier, if we need to, state of disaster can be re-implemented. So I think for most of us, we feel like, but for the mask and a couple of other things, we're kind of getting used to the fact that, you know, it's normal and it should be normal, as should the running of our government and Parliament's involvement therein.
Definitely. And now, I mean, there's talk of therapeutics coming out soon. I know that they've been approved for usage, I think, in a couple of countries around the world, which means that even if you do get COVID, you can now take antiviral medication, which makes it so that it's not very dangerous. You know, the world has changed significantly since 2020, and I think it's becoming increasingly apparent that this is very much a power grab and not much else. Any final thoughts, Herman?
Yeah, I think it's important to notice the fundamental shift that has really now come out in the open. Is it used to be the case that human rights were unconditional by the mere value of you being a human being endowed by your creator. And I think that's part of the genius of the Declaration of Independence, at least in that regard, is it doesn't have to be a religious creator. I happen to be religious and I read creator as you know, a divine being. But if you're a naturalist or an atheist or whatever, you know, it is just poetic language for, you know, the biological origin of where you come from. You know, by mere being a human being, you are entitled to certain inalienable rights. And we've developed, and the constitutional you know, idea has developed to such a point that we have rather sophisticated constitutional mechanisms the world over as a state of emergency, where these things can be suspended, but with very strict measures and under very specific circumstances. But now this Austrian thing, and we're going to see some, you know, Twitter idiots and so on, and whoever in South Africa also call for this, is it's just exposing this idea that human rights, fundamental rights, basic rights, freedoms have become conditional, that you can be held hostage. If you want your right to vote, my goodness, you better do A, B, or C. It's no longer a universal accessible idea that if you are a human being, you're a citizen, you're of an age of majority, those common age old signifiers for democratic participation. No. We've opened the door to some of the most, you know, cruelest and disgusting and repugnant forms of qualifying human rights. People can be bereft of their human rights if they don't go with government policy. And if you don't see a problem in that, well, then I guess you haven't been paying attention to the last 150 years.
Definitely. Herman, let us move on to our next topic, and this is one that you insisted that we needed to talk about. So I will give you the first word, and yes. Yeah, you can lay it out for us. So, celebrity Cher has made news, but perhaps not for the reasons that she wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, do you believe in wisdom after tweeting? I can feel something inside me say that woman really didn't think it's long enough, but I won't share any further such puns. But the long and short of it is that this woman in her 70s, and to her respect, I mean, she's got the body of a man half her age. She has tweeted out that Africa is a poor country. I can't remember the verbatim thing. Africa is a poor country because whites have been for centuries stealing, for what it's worth, she spelled stealing STEEL, in the sense that, you know, very metal of her, but Africa is poor because of the stealing and the military oppression of black people by white governments in succession. And then when people sort of called her on the obvious thing that, you know, Africa isn't a country.
Herman, you're making it sound more coherent than it was.
Okay, yeah, that is
it was all in capital letters. Let me read it verbatim. Africa's not, and this is all in capital letters, right? Africa's not a poor country. Whites have stolen, comma, and continue to steal as in metal, its wealth, full stop. Why have so many white people slash govs, and then in brackets throughout history, used brute force, comma, and military to, the number, hurt and kill people of color? Exclamation mark, question mark. Why are BLM still fighting for right to vote? Will America, and then a B, as in like the insect, white is right forever? Will it be 1963 in America forever?
I mean, that's just special because in discussing what stories we're going to include today, we almost took a experimental treatment of Alzheimer's. So I think we've got a possible participant in a trial there. And we'll in future look back on this when Cher might have mental health issues, and people would ask, were there signs? And we would say, yes, they were in tweet form. But so when people sort of try to help her with some of the fundamental bunglings that Africa isn't a country, her response was beautiful. It was, yes, it was very early on in her research of the subject that she tweeted this. She hadn't read deeply enough to come to the realization that Africa isn't a country. Now, I mean,
she said my stats, judge my heart.
Yeah, so firstly, she didn't mention stats. If you're going to mistake Africa for being a country and you're going to blame it on your superficial reading of the facts, and then you plead for people taking your stats a bit more charitably, it's just a shit show. It really is. It's just like an incoherence bomb exploded in her Botox treatment. But I think something that is quite telling here, and there's a deeper point here, is that people take this seriously. People genuinely think that this is actual fact. And now, of course, colonialism raped and pillaged to a very, very large extent, as colonialism in every era of human history has done. If you take it back to Alexander the Great or to the British Empire, every form of aggressive imperialist colonialist expansion goes with utter human tragedies and injustices. But the idea that bar colonialism from the West, Africa would be Wakanda, just ignores reality and mostly ignores Ethiopia, the only country in Africa not colonized during the high era of colonialization or colonization. And last time I looked, Ethiopia isn't, the land of milk and honey. It is not Wakanda. So this idea that racism and racism alone, with the narrowest view of history, is enough to make you certain of your case so that you can tweet in an incoherent way about things you really don't know, and for thousands of people to take you seriously. I mean, it really is just enough for me to start really wanting to side with the next plague.
So on that happy note, Sarah, I get this feeling that there was once a time when celebrities had a wall between them and the public, right? Mm-hmm. They were sort of a little bit mysterious and they were covered by the gossip pages and that sort of thing. But generally, you didn't see much from them except in their performances, in their Oscar speeches, and on the red carpet when they maybe gave an interview or two. Social media has really changed the game. Now we get to see what celebrities are really like. And I'm not sure whether it's working out well for them.
I think what you get is you get to know that they don't know very much. They're fairly illiterate, and they make the mistake of thinking that their fame stands in for all of those good things which you need to actually make an informed opinion. It also, I mean, I thought this was a thing of the past where Americans in particular, because they were seen more as more insular than the Europeans, saw Africa as a country or Kenya as a part of South Africa or whatever else it may be. But clearly it hasn't. I think she also doesn't realize that the sort of raping and pillaging of the resources of Africa are largely, we are currently in the hands of the Chinese. So it's certainly, it's not as white specific as she might think. And I really think that Donald Trump should have built that wall between the celebrity world and the rest of the American, forget Forget the border.
Yeah, build it around Hollywood. There you go.
Just California. Have California. I mean, it's got nice bits, but for Pete's sake, just take the Hollywood riches and the nonsense. Just, and Nevada. You can have Las Vegas. Just leave me Wyoming.
Now, dude, Nevada's pretty cool. Okay, don't knock Nevada. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, look, you know, we shouldn't take Scherr too seriously, but as you say, Herman, I think some people will. So it's worth perhaps pushing back a little bit against these ideas.
How old is she now? I mean, and not how old does she look, because she's had a lot of work done, but you know, she's no chicken. Maybe Alzheimer's study may be more important than we think.
Isn't she like 73 or something?
She's 75. I just looked it up.
75. My goodness.
You know what? Before we knock her too much, at least she's taking an interest in the world. It took her till 75, but you know, there you go.
Yes, and she's made a lot of money doing what the free market allowed her to do, creating music that people wanted to listen to and were willing to pay for. If only she'd stopped there, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, now that's a weird story, but they get weirder. So as you can probably tell, it's a bit of a slow news day. So we decided that we were going to talk about something that's a bit off the wall. So I've been complaining in various podcasts that I've been doing for a little bit about the quality of the Associated Press. So the Associated Press is basically, I think, the largest news organization in the world, or it's one of the most influential, let's put it that way. And it's got journalists all over the place. It carries international news, and it has a lot of influence over how the public debate goes. And a story while I was looking for news this morning caught my eye, and this is the headline. Associated Press exclusive. Sesame Street debuts Asian American Muppet. And this is written by a journalist called Terry Tang, who belongs to, get this, the Associated Press's race and ethnicity team. Anyway, so this news story is very kind of nothing particularly interesting happens. They are adding a Muppet to Sesame Street, which is a kids show in America. With puppets called Ji Young, who is a Korean American Muppet, and there's an interview with the puppeteer, who is also a Korean Asian American herself. And what was so striking about this piece was just how it was like a bizarre other world. Like no one in this piece seemed like a real human being. It was like a parody of sort of what woke people sound like. There's this whole section about how the puppeteer goes on to say that it's very important that the puppet not be generically pan-Asian, because this is a common problem that Asian Americans face, is they're all called Chinese when in fact they're from lots of different countries. And then there was quotes from some organization which advocates for Asian American rights about how this was such a great leap forward for the country and for representation on TV. And it's just weird. Why is a child's show being racialized so much? And why? I mean, what race are the other Muppets? Apparently, yes. I haven't watched Sesame Street for very many years, but apparently there's also black puppets and Asian puppets now. And I mean, it's just bizarre. Like this obsession with race. Sarah, what do you make of this?
Well, I thought that the whole idea behind something like Sesame Street, which was incredibly successful in worldwide, but incredibly successful, was that the Muppets were not of any race. They were pink, they were purple, they were yellow, they were green. And right.
Discussion, what race is the Cookie Monster?
Jamaican.
Let's not get into the whole Oreo, you know, thing. And it's just that it's this hyper awareness of difference that they get introduced that goes against the grain of the show. And also, you know, they're meant to be sort of standalone. I mean, they're not real. They don't look real. They sort of resemble types of animals, but they, you know, they're kind of like furry, fuzzy things that don't have any, they aren't of any particular genre. Now all of a sudden we are introducing a genre, and the it's what if they chosen to have a Muppet with a South Korean American accent, I would have just regarded it as a different accent to the others, and they're all still different Muppets and they look like different Muppets. But to now make it so clear that it is a South Korean Asian Muppet, it's silly.
It's like trying to make the Teletubbies racially representative. They're Teletubbies. I mean, it's but these things. I mean, what's Elmo?
What's Elmo?
I mean, what accent is that? Is it Polynesian? What and what sort of bizarre skin disease does that person have that he hit? You know, just has red. And the next outrage that should come from Sesame Street is Romanians
starting to have a problem with the number count or whatever the count's name is,
and just going that
is not how Eastern Europe really is. We don't count things except, you know, overalls and dead pigs.
It just, where does this stop? Where does this end? If you're going. Sorry. I think I'm having a stroke. I think this is a meltdown, because if you're in a world that is going through a crisis of economic proportions, if you've got actual mad people in China disappearing tennis players for, accusing a politician of sexual harassment and then disappearing, if you've got Jack Ma, if you've got the Uyghurs, if you've got big tech, you know, slowly building up to collectively control the space where life mostly starts occurring in our age, and you care about a slight squinty-eyed Muppet on a kid's show thinking that will somehow advance the moral arc of history against racism, you're not even deluded. You're an insult to delusional people. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You should be, you know, locked up in a madhouse. You've got more in common with a teabag than with humanity.
Nick, did you choose a subject specifically for Herman?
That was quite something. I must say, I think the fact that the deeper thing here is that the Associated Press has a race and ethnicity team. And I doubt that they have ever written a story that has made anyone's lives better or informed anyone of anything important or interesting.
And the real tragedy here is that race and racism, these are actual barriers that people actually encounter. They're turning us into the species that, you know, whines wolf on every little possible racist incident. It is threatening to devalue. It's how I felt about Me Too as well. Is, of course, sexual harassment is a massive issue, and Harvey Weinstein is the you know, Zimmer frame limping manifestation of that evil. But if you're going to have people who wink at you suggestively lumped into the same category as a rapist, or if you're going to lump, you know, the Martin Luther King and what he accomplished in the civil rights movement in the same category as a slightly Asian oriental looking Muppet, you are just cheapening the real battles of societal diseases that we can all agree need to be fought. This is and the fact that, as you say, these people determine to a large degree the mainstream news coverage across the world. And then it's a wonder why, you know, a news media is held in such low regard. I mean, it's only a matter of time before you've got an openly transgender Muppet, and then, you know, a biracial, semi-homophobic, occasionally ableist, you know, where does this end? In the end, it just, you know, it's just collective soup of nonsense. Sorry, I'm now just ranting. No analysis, just ranting.
All right, I think we are out of time for today, but I do want to just add one more thing, and I will leave this without comment. The Associated Press, they attach tags to their various things. So the story I just linked, for example, some of the tags are things like entertainment and racial injustice or things like that. Kyle Rittenhouse, who I'm sure many of our listeners have seen if they follow American news, they've seen the trial going on. It's a story of a 17-year-old boy who is on trial for shooting three a 17-year-old white boy is on trial for shooting dead a couple of white men who he says were attacking him. That was filed under AP exclusive under the Associated Press under racial injustice, which is a bit weird.
And
but anyway, I'll leave.
I just want to add a last thing. This is an exclusive. I mean, this is an exclusive. I mean, you know, Monroe found dead, Verwoerd stabbed. Those are things that deserve exclusive, or, you know, world-breaking Alzheimer's treatment. Exclusive for a puppet that looks slightly Asian. What the? Just. I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, we can't follow that up. So anyway, thank you very much for listening. Please support the Institute of Race Relations, which is of course the great power behind the throne here, by SMSing your name to 32823, signing up to become a friend of the Institute. Also like and subscribe, leave us good reviews, and we will see you tomorrow for the Daily French Show. Cheers, everyone.